This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on that power bill, using technology wisely, and living a more sustainable life. Hey, today we're going to talk about nuclear energy, and the whole show in studio with me, Dr. David Gaddy, frequent guest, friend of the program from the University of Georgia. Welcome, Dr. Gaddy.
Thanks, Tim. It's good to be with you.
And on the phone from Martinique is Gerard Kopman, the founder of the World Nuclear Exhibition, and he's been involved with nuclear energy. It's great having you on the phone from Martinique today. Welcome.
Hi, Tim, and welcome, Dr. Gaddy.
Well, it's good to have you on today. You know, I was invited to the World Nuclear Exhibition back in 2014. I met you there. You subsequently came to the United States recruiting people for the event. It's become just an incredible staple in the nuclear community. How did the World Nuclear Exhibition get started, Mr. Kopman?
Well, it got started when Luc Courcel, the CEO of Areva, and Henri Poglio, the CEO of EDF, asked me to take over a brand new association for the French nuclear companies, and told me that they wanted me to organize an exhibition like the one existing in the aerospace industry.
Dr. Gaddy, you talk a lot about energy security, national security, with your work at the University of Georgia. The French really have done a remarkable job both on the front end and the back end of the fuel cycle.
They have. They actually, to your point there, Tim, they probably can serve as a model for the rest of the world as far as closing the fuel cycle. One of the things I'm looking forward to is how they're going to move forward, because they have some pretty aggressive targets right now that they've set out. So we're excited about watching what France is going to do moving forward.
Mr. Kopman, when I first met you, Fukushima had was just barely in the rear view mirror, and safety was the message in that 2014 WNE, but it's really evolved through the years. And as I'm, you know, just returning from the conference, I'm hearing a lot of momentum about nuclear being used to make green hydrogen, district heating, and really helping to solve some of the climate issues. Are you seeing that momentum in France?
Definitely. The times have changed. I mean, at the time when we started WNE in 2014, the odds were not as favorable as they are today. As you just remembered, Fukushima had passed, and there was a lot of, controversy about nuclear energy, of course, fueled by the Greens, which are very strong, especially in Germany, and which have a big influence in Europe. So it was, at the start of WNE, immediately a great success, 500 companies, especially as Dr. Gaddy mentioned, thanks also to the vivacity of the clusters of the French companies, which have been emerging through the nuclear program in the 80s and 70s. And now we see definitely that times have changed, even at the European level, and especially they have changed since Germany had to, question their dependence to Russian gas.
You know, Dr. Gaddy, the Ukrainian crisis not only caused a spike in our own prices here because of LNG exports to Europe, France, you know, Amsterdam, Spain, others, but it has really done a lot to change public opinion in Europe regarding nuclear energy, because so many of those countries were very dependent on Russian gas.
It has, and hopefully that little bit of fear right there, Tim, is going to stick and hang around long term, and it's not going to be just a blip on the screen. They need to be looking down the road 10, 15, 20 years. Energy security is not just a near-term war-dependent issue like it is right now in Russia and Ukraine. It is long-term, and they're going to have to turn back to nuclear. To Mr. Kottmann's point, Germany's position on nuclear power and their energy wind in general ought to be a lesson for all of us, particularly here in the U.S.
Mr. Kottmann, I heard a French official say that the French needed 10,000 workers in nuclear per year for the next 10 years for 100,000 workers in the nuclear workforce. Is that going to be difficult for France to do?
I think it's a challenge for all the countries who want to develop nuclear energy. And this challenge is not new. I was also president of a cluster starting in 2005 with the Burgundy companies evolving in the nuclear energy sector. And already at that time, we said we need welders, we need metallurgists, we need people who are expert in foundry. And at that time, it was already difficult to get the kids and the parents interested in heavy industry. So things, again, have changed, and our new government is definitely pushing for apprenticeship in these fields. I think the mentalities also have changed with the kids, but it's not going to be an easy work.
David Gaddy, you were recently on Capitol Hill testifying, and we're going to talk about that more in the next segment. But you know, I'm hearing the United States say things similar to what the French were saying. We need to triple our nuclear fleet, and yet, you know, I look out there, Dr. Gaddy, at states that have the financial wherewithal, that have the political courage to launch out into a nuclear deal that, you know, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, is maybe too risky right now. I'm needing a federal backstop. I'm needing more assurance before I launch into something else. You know, what are you hearing out there from people? Is it something we really can do? Is the time right? Are the deals right? What do you think?
So it's certainly something that we can do. This isn't a technology issue. We can build nuclear reactors. We've been doing it for decades. The problem right now is, and I think that's one of the reasons why Georgia is a perfect model. You know, our vertically integrated structure here in Georgia allows us, Tim, to look long term. You as a commissioner know full well that those two reactors over at Vogtle weren't built for you and me. They were built for our children. They were built for our grandchildren. For other states to actually see that not as a risk but as an investment is pretty tough to overcome. So furthermore, if we're going to look down the road, you know, whether we're going to build another AP1000 is beyond the conversation. But if SMRs are going to be part of the future, which I'm convinced that they will be, we're going to need a demand signal that's going to get us up to production scale so that utilities can see the U.S. come down that cost curve, and then they will raise their hand and say, we'll do that. That demand signal and getting to production scale is really our biggest hurdle right now.
If you're just joining us, that's Dr. David Gaddy from the University of Georgia, and on the phone from Martinique is Mr. Kottmann, Gerard Kottmann, the founder of WNE. Mr. Kottmann, as we kind of wrap up our segment with you, I know President Macron, during his campaign, you know, promised to build 5 reactors, and if he got reelected, another 8, I believe, 13 reactors. Public opinion in France is very high for nuclear now, mainly because of this Ukrainian war. What are the challenges associated with the French building 13 reactors?
You just mentioned financing, and I think that is also a very important topic here in Europe. remember, there was a big fight in Brussels to get nuclear included in the financing possibilities for decarbonated energy. The Germans and other countries were pushing for nuclear to be excluded, which was absurd, because in decarbonizing, nuclear is king of the road. So we have overcome this hurdle, but there are still some, how can I say, some people who are working in behind the scene in order to to withdraw the possibility of nuclear being financed. So this is definitely this is one of the most important challenges. We need to have financing go on, as you do in the United States. Apart from that, in France, we fortunately have kept all the industries who are necessary we have a very strong cluster of companies. So that's a good point. And then what we mentioned before, we need to have people being trained to replace the competent people who have worked on the nuclear power plants up to now. It was really refreshing to see all these young people coming to WNE last month, and we have seen really an interest also of the professors of the educational field to show that there is work for people for long term in the nuclear industry.
Well, Mr. Cotman, thank you so much for being on Energy Matters today.
Thank you, Tim, and thank you, Dr. Gady.
It's great to meet you, Mr. Cotman.
Hey, coming up in our next segment, a conversation with Dr. Gady about his trip to Capitol Hill. It sounds a little scary. We'll see how that went. Stick around. You're listening to Energy Matters. Hey, Tim Eccles here for GEM Car Wraps. GEM Car Wraps, this fantastic group out of Brunswick that do wraps on vehicles, jet skis, golf carts. They've got it on my vehicles. So check it out, GEM Car Wraps on Facebook.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit. And the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. Better Tomorrow Solar can install your solar panels at no upfront cost. Build equity in your own home rather than paying the utility company. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com, and see how you can make your world better.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show. Hey, Tim Eccles, another segment, really focusing on nuclear energy this segment. Dr. Gady in the studio, KC Boyce, my regular co-host, and Danny Johnson from Georgia Power. Dr. Gady, great to have Mr. Cotman on and really see just the really incredible work that the French are doing.
Yeah, he's got some insight there, Tim, that might be worth spending a few hours on one day. He's got a lot that he can tell, a lot of good information.
Dr. Gady, you recently went to Washington. What were you doing up there, and who were you talking to?
So I was testifying before the House Energy and Commerce Committee Subcommittee on Energy and Grid Reliability and Energy Security. They had me up there for the most part because my past 5, 6, 7, 8 years of work with the Center for International Trade and Security here at the University of Georgia has been elevating our energy policy discussion to the national security level, which is where we believe it should be. Where it should have been all along.
Casey, you know, more states, even blue states, are expressing interest in nuclear energy. And I think in part it's due to the Biden administration's pledge and tax incentives and, you know, interest in tripling the nuclear fleet. Illinois now saying that it's legal to build another reactor. Casey, with your work with utilities, are you seeing a lot of interest in SMRs or keeping existing nuclear going?
We're starting to see more interest from consumers in nuclear. So one of the things that we ask people is where they prefer to get their electric generation from. And so nuclear is definitely climbing in terms of preference. It's still fairly far behind renewables. So wind and solar take number one and number two by a long shot nationally. But to your point, there have been some really good policy developments. Diablo Canyon was just announced that the California PUC is going to continue operating or allow Diablo Canyon to continue operating. And, you know, while I'm skeptical about building new nuclear plants, and SMRs are in there, although they're you know, an interesting idea, certainly it doesn't make any sense given, you know, the issues that we're facing from climate and affordability to be shutting down nuclear plants before the end of their lives.
Danny Johnson, you work with Georgia Power. The company's really just pushed through a Westinghouse bankruptcy, the pandemic, you know, criticism from other skeptics that are out there, but yet the company persisted, the reactor's running, providing needed power for the grid.
Thank you, Tim. Certainly, we're proud as a company of our accomplishment. One of the things that we're aware of is, like you, that the state of Georgia continues to grow. And this has been a journey for us. It was a hard journey, but we're really proud of the accomplishment. And we know that when we get Unit 4 fully operational, it's going to add value.
Dr. Getty, what was your message to the committee?
Primarily, Tim, it was for them to, when we talk about energy transition, I understand the cliche around that. I've got a personal issue with transition in the world's largest economy, the world's arguably the world's most important economy, to transition it away from fossil fuels for the intent of addressing a global issue that we cannot unilaterally solve. So my push with them there was, we have got to develop our energy policy not relative to climate change, but relative to our great power competitor, China. If our industrial base starts to diminish relative to China's industrial base, we're going to be in trouble. And energy and energy technologies are central to those.
Casey, you've heard me talk on the show and write in the Wall Street Journal and other places about the importance of the U.S. maintaining superiority in this. And I certainly want us to have superiority in other areas too, right? I mean, we're a country that's leading the way out there, things like electric vehicles, solar, biomass, other things like that. I mean, we've got the brain power in the U.S. to do this.
We do. And I think, to Dr. Gaddy's point, I think there is a real risk to the U.S. of not being that leader. Like, if you look at China, how many AP1000s do they have under construction right now?
I've lost count.
It's a lot.
And that's our technology.
Right. But they've got the construction expertise in that they can then potentially go export. You look at electric vehicles in China, same thing. They've got a huge market there. And so, you know, one of the concerns as we look at kind of this global energy issue is the economic competitiveness. And should the U.S. be there? Do we have the brain power? Absolutely. But are we there? Not yet.
Danny, you know, Southern Company owns Georgia Power, Alabama Power, Mississippi Power, and we have resisted deregulating energy in Georgia. And I often tell people, look, we're in a good situation. We've got these other two states that are in this system. We've got a trading floor in Birmingham that allows our states to kind of trade energy and settle up at the end of the month. So we've got a system that's not broken. It's providing incredible reliability and customer service. I don't see any reason to change anything.
I would agree with you, and I don't know if you're aware, but J.D. Power just rated us number one again in residential customer satisfaction. And part of that is because we've got really a good relationship across the state with our citizens and customers, as well as with the Public Service Commission. You guys do a phenomenal job of keeping us on task and on budget.
Dr. Gaddy, you know, I was on Wall Street recently, met with Barclays, met with Bank of America. met with J.P. Morgan, and one of the things that these people say about Georgia is that it's stable, that it's predictable. And, you know, while I love creativity, I think stability in this area of energy, of reliability, it's the magnet that attracts investment. It's the magnet that attracts companies. Did you hear anything like that in Washington? Are people aware of what we're doing down here, up there, or are we just kind of out of sight, out of mind?
No, we're not out of sight, out of mind. People are very aware of what we're doing down here. Again, we're growing our nuclear, we're growing solar, we're maintaining steady. And I'll tell you another thing recently is just looking at some of our coal capacity down here, Tim. The fact that we are actually looking at maybe not retiring that stuff as soon as we thought we should have. When people see that Georgia, the state of Georgia, is making decisions based on reliability first and foremost and keeping it as affordable as possible, that is the stability that you're talking about there. They are seeing realistic, pragmatic decisions being made without getting too far out in front of their skis on things.
Casey Jiggershaw, who you know, runs the LPO office for the Biden administration, brilliant guy, recently called me on a Saturday at home to tell me that Georgia's 26% reserve margin is doing more to attract businesses to Georgia than just about anything else we're doing. He's glad that we finished Vogtle, but he said it's this reserve that you all have, and now you have even more, that is allowing you to say yes when other states are saying no.
So it's allowing that capacity growth as new businesses come to the state.
Yeah, I mean, Casey, why? After a decade of pretty flat growth, why are we seeing this growth not only around the United States but around the world? What's happening out there?
Well, there's a couple of things that are happening in this state. Certainly, we've got a lot of new industry coming here, right? We've got the Hyundai plant. We've got SK Innovations that's growing their business, and that's just the clean tech sector. Lots of other manufacturing coming to Georgia, right? So you need a power to do that manufacturing. The other big driver is the fact that we are electrifying a lot more, right? So you think about electric vehicles and electric fleets, that takes power, and that drives growth in the load. There are incentives that came out of the Inflation Reduction Act for people to replace fossil fuel, natural gas furnaces and things like that with heat pumps. And so that adds more to the needs in terms of electricity capacity and production.
Danny, we talk a lot about the businesses that come here. You work a lot with consumers, some that are a lot that are in distress, and I get those calls as well. But we've got this great prepay program that's helping customers save 11%. We've got the Salvation Army making tremendous investments with Georgia Power matching every dollar with $1.50 out of the foundation. I think a lot of people aren't aware of how much you all are helping ratepayers.
Thank you again for the question. We're really in the field. This past year, the energy assistance team that I have the pleasure of leading actually conducted over 260 on-site events, creating awareness, talking about affordability, and certainly assistance. We have roughly about 80,000 customers who are today benefiting from our prepay program. It eliminates the security deposit, reconnect charges, and customers are actually able to pay as they go, which is a real benefit at the end of the day.
And Danny, when you look at energy assistance and kind of programs for your customers, one of the things that we see in our data is that there are lots of people who are struggling that don't necessarily qualify for income limited programs. And certainly prepay is not something that's income limited. Anyone can sign up, and it's a good benefit for folks. How do you think about that when you think about Georgia Power's customers and people who may not, be eligible for the low income programs, but nonetheless are struggling? What would you recommend for them?
So what I would recommend is that, number one, we have 7 residential rates that are available. So prepay helps one section of those customers, but we have 7 residential rates that are available, and I would encourage everybody to go to our website, look at those rates, and choose the appropriate rate that meets your lifestyle. The other piece of this is we work with a lot of faith-based organizations and nonprofits who are also available to help with some of those dollars.
We really need to seriously consider what we're proposing to do to this economy. We are not talking about just switching fuels here. We're talking about changing the DNA of our industrial base, and we really need to do this in the context of the broader global community.
Well, Dr. Gaddy, thanks for all you do here around the country at the University of Georgia. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
And to Danny and Casey, thanks for being on this segment. Coming up, another half of the show from WNE. Stick around. You'll hear what's going on overseas with nuclear energy. It's Tim Echols. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Echols and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.
Tim Echols, host of Energy Matters, here with Jeff Pratt of Green Power EMC. Jeff, more and more EMCs are offering solar to their members, and you're seeing it grow like crazy across rural Georgia.
Tim, you're right. Co-ops in Georgia are doing a great job of deploying solar across the state. In fact, they're leaders in the country with respect to engaging customers and deploying large-scale solar to benefit all their members.
Hey, contact your EMC and ask them about their solar energy policy, or just Google Green Power EMC.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Marlin Gas Services, a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, is your leader in mobile pipeline solutions for hold, peak, and backup services to meet utilities' demand schedules, and their experts in CNG and RNG transportation and logistics solutions. No pipeline, no problem. Marlin Gas Services can provide uninterrupted natural gas service for short or long-term projects, no matter the location. Learn more about how we can support your mobile natural gas needs at marlingas.com/energymatters. That's marlingas.com/energymatters.
Mr. Echols, this is Christine Turner. I wanted to tell you personally how much I appreciate you help getting our power back on in Locust Grove. We got it back on as soon as you sent the email to the president. It came back on about 10:30 Saturday night, but I didn't get home till 10:30. Staying with my friends, Diane and Johnny Dodd. I think you're friends with your mom and dad that gave you your phone number. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that.
Hey, Tim Echols back on Energy Matters in Paris at the World Nuclear Exhibition with Congressman Mark Kawango. Mark is from the Philippines and his colleague Carlo Arcilia. I want to welcome you, Mark, to the show.
Yes. Hello, Tim Echols. I've been your fan on X, on Twitter, and I'm so glad to finally meet you here in Paris. And I'm your fan because I saw you, how you persevered in continuing and finally completing Vogtle 3 and 4. And Georgians will be benefiting from that for decades from now.
Very kind. Thank you. Carlo, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for meeting you. I'm the nuclear regulator in the Philippines, and we'll benefit from a law just passed by the congressman that just passed the lower house to have an independent regulatory body, which is important for safety. Thank you.
Hey, let's just remind the Georgia audience about the Philippines. I've been to Manila and around the country just one time, way back in 1991. I was telling you I went to Malabon, and back when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I was speaking in high schools. I had a nice dinner at the mayor's house and learned that politicians have to have bodyguards sometimes in the Philippines, at least back in that time. What's it like, Congressman, to be an elected official in the Philippines?
It's like everywhere else. People want results from your tenure. There are local needs. There are parochial needs. And there's also national needs. And so you have to balance both. You have to balance the parochial needs with the national needs. And that's what I try to do. So I've been a nuclear advocate for 17 years now. We have a 100% complete Westinghouse nuclear plant, which has never run. And as a consequence of that, from 1986, we now are 55% imported coal and 20% gas, which is going to be LNG soon because our gas is running out. So this is a huge foreign exchange drain for our country. And because of it, I don't think we can prosper. We have the highest electricity prices in Southeast Asia, and we need to fix that.
Carlo, one of the things that we did in Georgia by building Plant Vogtle was to test the regulatory process because it was non-existent. It had not been used in the United States for 35 years. So all of that had to be stood back up. And so now we've tested the design and it's running, and we've tested the regulatory process. As a regulator, what are some of the things that's important to you? I'm sure safety is paramount.
Yeah, actually, I can say that the American example is shining, and also in the French. America, with nearly 100 nuclear power plants, one accident that didn't cause any death, you know. And France, 56 nuclear power plants, no accidents. So America has run nuclear plants safely, privately owned. It's a lesson to behold. Many Americans are not aware that 20% of electricity comes from that. And there are some people that's keeping them safe, even if it's not known to them. Thank God for the regulators in American in America. They've provided cheap, safe electricity safely.
That may be the first time I've ever heard anyone thank God for a regulator. And since I'm a regulator, I'm glad to hear that. Congressman, I've been saying for years that the nuclear renaissance, first, it's come to Asia. Asia, and Americans don't see this, but China was building, I think, 26 reactors along its eastern shore. Korea's very, very involved. You guys are excited. The Japanese are turning back on their reactors. It's only the Taiwanese that seem to be buying into the German Energiewende philosophy and pushing away. What do you think is driving the nuclear renaissance in Asia?
Well, in the Philippines is unique because we don't have indigenous coal, or we don't have our indigenous gas is almost out. So it's all imported, and it's imported from some of our neighbors, namely Indonesia. And if you remember when Russia attacked Ukraine, all of a sudden Indonesia decided unilaterally, we're not going to export coal anymore. And we had to go and kneel down and beg them to continue selling us coal, or the entire Philippine economy would have shut down. So it depends on where you're from. In the Philippines, nuclear makes sense because we don't have any fossil fuels. Population goes abroad to earn dollars, and here we are. We're spending the dollars importing fossil fuels and just burning it instead of using it to build our country. And you know, the importation for nuclear fuel is 1/50th the importation for an equivalent amount of coal or gas or LNG. So it will help us enrich our country.
I've got a congressman from the Philippines, Congressman Cuanco, and one of his colleagues, Carlo Arcilia, who's a regulator in the Philippines. Carlo, you heard what the congressman said about the impact of the Ukrainian war, the boycott of Russian gas. It was almost like a domino effect. It began to affect all these countries. Did you see that and hear that from people, that the impact of that Ukrainian war was causing prices to go up and impact many ways in the Philippines?
Actually, even before the Ukrainian war, the median Filipino family has one refrigerator, no air conditioner, 10% of take-home pay on electricity. I was 12 years in the U.S. What you spend on electricity is less than 1%. 10%. And that's why in 2019, the government did a survey. 79% of the Filipino population are open to nuclear because of the very expensive electricity. they say the most expensive electricity is no electricity. People were very surprised. Why 79%? I'm telling congressmen here, 80% of the people are behind you. Forget about all the naysayers. If you deliver this cheap electricity, everything else will follow. 10 million of our population are abroad, many in the U.S., and all of them work in countries where electricity is cheap. So that's the strongest argument for nuclear in the Philippines. Thank you.
Congressman, politics is a fickle thing. It can almost just turn on a dime. You can have something happen like the Ukrainian war, the Arab oil embargo way back in the 70s. Little things like this can change people's mind because it puts them into a crisis.
Yes. The situation in Japan is very similar to the Philippines. You know, after Fukushima, they shut down all their nuclear plants. And this was before the Russians invaded Ukraine. And their fossil fuel import bill was $30 billion a year. So that's now 11 years, 12 years. So that's what, $360 billion? That's without the price increase. But because of the Russian war, it's multiples of that. No? So the Philippines is in the same situation. Japan now targets 50% nuclear by 2050. So I want to do similar in the Philippines. I want to target at least 16,000 megawatts of nuclear by 2045. We are now one-third of Vietnam's production because they have indigenous coal. That's why we're limited.
You know, I say all the time on this show that geography matters when it comes to energy. It really matters. Taiwan, a quarter of the size of my state of Georgia, an island, no one to trade with, just a nine-day supply of LNG that if the Chinese blockaded Taiwan, they would be hurting in about 2 weeks.
Did you know that their first economic miracle, when they moved from Barbie dolls to electronic chips, was driven by nuclear? But then they forgot, because they got so successful that gas became so cheap and coal became so cheap, that they forgot about the miracle of nuclear. And you know what else is nice about nuclear? You achieve this independence, fossil fuel independence, and cleanliness comes as a free bonus because it's clean. It doesn't emit CO2. It doesn't emit particulate emissions. It has no coal ash dumps. So you become clean as a consequence of going nuclear, of getting your fossil fuel independence.
One of the things I remember about my time in the Philippines, in Manila, is every day when I would come back, I would have soot on my arms, yes, and on my neck and on my face because there was so much diesel smog in the air. And so cleaning the air, you know, in a country like the Philippines is important.
Yes, of course. I mean, if someone tallied the deaths from coal consumption, it would be much, much more. And I agree with you. In Manila, it's not only your nostrils get the black soot, you know. As I said, 10 million Filipinos are abroad. They have tasted what cheap energy is. And then they will actually help us to help push for nuclear. Inexpensive, clean electricity. And we are not actually campaigning for clean. It is actually because of the energy security and low cost.
I've got to keep my guest around one more segment. I'm going to bring him back another segment. We're going to talk a little more about the Philippines, Tagalog, all the cool food that you can get over there. What a wonderful country. How friendly the people are. The jeepneys. I wonder if they're jeepneys. What's a jeepney? Stick around. We're going to learn in just a second. It's Tim Echols from Paris at WNE. You're listening to Energy Matters.
As the Southeast's leading non-utility power provider, Cherry Street Energy energizes businesses like Porsche and Gulfstream in cities like Macon and Atlanta with predictably priced emission-free electricity. We build, own, and operate solar power plants for our partners, allowing them to deliver on sustainability promises with no complexities, upfront costs, or ongoing maintenance. All they get is a power bill, simple as sunshine. To learn more, contact us at info@cherrystreetenergy.com.
Tim Eccles of Energy Matters here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over the state. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. Gerd and all the folks at Solar Sun World understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work for you. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll advise you on the best path forward. And Solar Sun World now offers power purchase agreements. Find them at SolarSunWorld.com. SolarSunWorld.com.
Hello, Commissioner. I feel like it's very important that I occasionally let you know that I really appreciate the job that you do and your commitment to solar energy and electric vehicles. It really makes me happy, the idea of our wonderful state having more and more solar. Just, it really excites me. I really love the job you're doing. Anyway, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, Tim Eccles back. One more segment with my guest from the Philippines, the congressman and Carlo. Congressman, I teased in the last at the end of the last segment about those jeepneys. And I can remember riding in the jeepney and handing my little coin up. Everyone kind of took the coin and the driver held his hand out. Those jeepneys inspired by obviously America coming to the aid of the Philippines. Are jeepneys still around in the Philippines?
Yes, they are, but they're an endangered species as far as a new law is concerned, a new regulation is concerned. But there are protests in the street of people wanting to preserve this iconic form of transportation. But it's still there, maybe not for long, because there's a Modernization Act that wants to, you know, put more road safety, power steering, automatic transmissions into this, disc brakes, into this, these are just assembled from surplus parts, so they're not exactly that safe. So maybe now there's going to be more modernization.
Carlo,
pollution also.
Carlo, is there still a positive sentiment toward America in the Philippines that time where our soldiers came there and where our countries, you know, worked together, is there still a love there for America?
There's always been a love for America. When I was young, when you see a Caucasian man, "Hey Joe," you know, because that was the... But why is there a love? There's English. There's a lot of in the culture, you know. Our language is English. My parents were taught by American missionaries. My parents recited poetry over dinner table. And after high school, I was taught English from grade school on. I did my PhD and master's courtesy of a Fulbright, you know. So I am an American fan. I mean, and the Filipinos love NBA, the basketball, you know. We're short, but we are the Asian champions in basketball, even if we're short.
So, I resemble that remark. I'm short myself. Congressman, what's been the trajectory of your political career? Where did you get started?
Well, I was a businessman. My father was in politics in another province. But then we had a cement plant, which we started in 1966 in another province. And he said, why don't you enter politics? Because you keep on complaining, he said. And if you want to do change, stop talking about it. Get involved. So I decided to try in 2001. I did three terms. We are allowed three-year terms. So I graduated a congressman. Then my wife took over. She did two terms, and she also did a term as mayor in our hometown. But then I ran for governor, and I caused both of our defeats in 2016. And my father passed away, and I decided to come back in 2022 in another district, and the district of my opponents that beat me for governor. So I won there. And so in 2007, I was a vice chairman of appropriations, defending the budget of the Department of Finance, and I was told that August of that year, we had fully paid the debt of Bataan Nuclear Power Plant, the Philippine Nuclear Power Plant number one, which was $2.12 billion, and 699 million of which was interest out of pocket because we did not run the plant. And the same plant, the sister plant of this plant in Korea, paid for itself in 6 years. So we had an impending power crisis 2013. I said, why aren't we running this plant when we fully paid for it? So that's ever since 2007 till today, that has been my advocacy, whether I was in or out of office. I spent my own coin. I brought people to the plant. I paid for the bus. I've been evangelical about it. So up to now, that's my passion, is to I see that if the Philippines had cheap electricity, we would not have turned away investors when there was the Asian miracle, and we would have progressed much more. So that's why I push.
Carlo, cheap electricity, inexpensive electricity, it's really relative to say cheap electricity, because the German price versus the California price versus the New York price versus the Georgia price. Well, you know, which one is cheap? Californians may feel like, because they're not running the air condition, that they have a good deal, that their power bill is lower. But the point was made a while ago that most Filipinos aren't running air conditions, that they have very little load. Yet their energy burden is substantial. And I think part of that is because they're not making that much money, right?
Exactly. You know, you shouldn't use a kilowatt per hour. That's an unfair metric. It should be the percent of the take-home pay that you pay for electricity. If you use this metric, then you'll see how oppressive our electricity prices are. And you can also see, for example, just the same thing in Korea. Korea has half their electricity costs, but their GDP is much, much higher. So it's actually, it grates into the Filipino economy and psyche. That is precisely explains the 80% viability of nuclear in the Philippines, because electricity is so expensive. You know, before you buy, before an ordinary family buys an appliance, they start calculating how much will this cost. In terms of electric bill, you never think of that in the U.S. So this is how much. And then a lot of the jobs fled the Philippines because of the expensive power rates. Just one example. We're the biggest producer of nickel in the world. 95% of our ore is exported to China. We can't process it in the Philippines because of high electricity costs. So we have to buy the steel, that the nickel and the steel from China, finished. Can you imagine that, you know?
When I was in the Philippines, one of my hosts would take me to eat lugaw. Yes. I think it was called. And I noticed,
did you eat balut?
I would not eat the balut, the duck egg. No, I would not do that. But the lugaw, I noticed, and I'm a spoiled American, right? I noticed that all the parts, every lugaw was made from some part of some animal that I did not want to eat. Maybe the intestine, maybe the brain, maybe the testicles. I mean, it's like, no, what did the Philippines do with the filet mignon? Where is the chicken breast? But I have a feeling you probably exported it.
No, we eat it there. No, we eat it there, but these are delicacies, you know, so we don't waste anything. We even eat the chicken feet, you know. So I think that's from Chinese culture. So Asians eat anything, including the duck egg, the embryo. So these are delicacies that I really enjoy as a Filipino.
Yeah, just wrapping up our segment, a couple of more minutes.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Yes, he talked about Korea. They generate six times the electricity the Philippines does, and they have half our population. And there was a time when they were poorer than us, and it's about the time that nuclear was started. Kori 2 nuclear plant is the twin of Bataan nuclear plant, and they left us behind. We are 1/50th the per capita consumption of electricity in the United States. That makes us poor. Our electricity price is what between 20 cents U.S. per kilowatt hour to 40 cents U.S. per kilowatt hour, depending on where you are. So can you imagine that price in the U.S.? Now, your Vogtle plant, you know, before, gas was cheap in the U.S., but it's not cheap anymore. You're exporting your gas now to Germany by turning it into LNG. That's not going to stop now because of the crisis in the world. So you protected Georgia from fossil fuel prices. I think that's it's all in the context of the place.
You know, that is such a great point. And, you know, when we approved Vogtle and started, gas was cheap, and we didn't know if it would ever go up. You just don't know how things are going to change based on world circumstances. And that Ukrainian war caused even this country, France, the country that we're in, they were importing our LNG, and that's caused the price in America, in my state, to go up. Carlo, just the last word here as we wrap up the show and the segment here. What are you hopeful for in the Philippines in the future?
I'm hopeful because we have a young population. 60% of our population is below 18, 20 years old. And we provide labor. We provide most of the world's seamen and nurses. I want the Filipinos to have a better life. And it starts with cheaper electricity.
Yeah, can I? Congressman, just the last 30 seconds.
Yes. Americans should know that China bought the entire production of Qatar for gas for the next 50 years. And they bought, I think, U.S. Gas for the next 28 years. So they're cornering all of this. And our competition, if we go gas, LNG, are the rich countries of the world. Europe, Japan, Korea, Taiwan. Where are we going to be if we're trying to get richer in the world? I think nuclear gives us the way out.
And there it is. Nuclear is the way out, the way to prosperity for the Philippines. Thank you both for being on Energy Matters. Hey, coming to you from the WNE, the World Nuclear Exhibition here in Paris, you've been listening to Energy Matters. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Logan Booker here, producer of Energy Matters, and I want to tell you about the Advanced Power Alliance. For more than 20 years now, the Advanced Power Alliance has been leading the energy transition in America's traditional energy states. They advocate for wind energy, solar power, and energy storage, all while partnering with traditional resources to ensure that America has abundant, affordable, cleaner energy to power our homes, our lives, as well as our economy. With the growth of solar and advanced storage and power generation technologies, every state now has the opportunity to be a leading energy state. Advanced Power Alliance is proud to partner with the Georgia Large Scale Solar Association and work with the Public Service Commission, Georgia Power, and their customers as Georgia continues to be one of America's leading renewable energy states. You can learn more about the Advanced Power Alliance at poweralliance.org. That's poweralliance.org.
Having a family member or close friend in crisis is something we have all experienced. North Point Christian Counseling can help. Whether it's marriage counseling or a loved one struggling with abuse or addiction, North Point Christian Counseling has counselors in Macon, Athens, Kennesaw, and Albany to help bring healing and recovery. To find out more, call 478-973-9358 or find them online at northpointcounseling.org. That's 478-973-9358 or northpointcounseling.org.